The following program is a production of St. Peter the Rock Media and is brought to you by you. If you like it, consider making a donation and supporting Catholic radio programming on AM 1260 The Rock.
Go to am1260therock.com and click on the orange donate button.
Inevitably, all of us will ask God this one important question.
What do you want me to do? Why am I here? You're here on this planet for a reason. What do you want me to do? Why am I here? What do you want me to do? Why am I here?
Hello? Hello? Who is this?
This is God calling.
Then everything can seem so clear. AM 1260 The Rock presents God Calling. This locally produced program looks closer at stories of religious vocations from the priesthood to marriage, from parenting to the single life. And now here's your host, Paul Orlowski.
Well, as you just heard, this is God Calling. I am Paul Orlowski, and we're joined today by Father Scott Goodfellow, a priest since 2014 and one of the sons of St. Joseph of Avon Lake. My parish. And so I told Father when we were coming in that I was well-armed for this particular interview because I talked to his mom about you yesterday, and she actually gave me some stuff. She's very efficient, so we'll keep you on your toes.
That's great.
But Father, you mentioned that you'd like to start with a prayer.
Definitely, yeah. Open us up with a prayer. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Heavenly Father, thank you for the gift of our vocations. For the gift of just calling us to follow after your Son. Thank you always for providing for us in every way, listening to those needs and desires of our heart, and just opening them up, expanding them, stretching them, so that the grace of your Son can dwell deeply within us. He so deeply desires to live his humanity in us, and that just is lived through our vocation. So, Lord, we ask you to bless this time together. Bless our listeners, bless The Rock, and everyone who works here to make this programming available. And Lord, we just ask for a deepening of our faith. We may continue to trust in you and follow you through Christ our Lord.
Amen.
In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Well, welcome. Father, obviously, as I mentioned, you were from St. Joseph in Avon Lake. Tell me about growing up. Did you go to St. Joseph School?
I actually went to a couple different parishes growing up.
All right.
Yeah. So I went to kindergarten at St. Raphael's.
Okay,
so my family
began
there. After that, we went to Holy Spirit for a couple of years, and then we ended up at St. Joseph when I was in eighth grade. So I got confirmed through St. Joseph and was a parishioner there through high school and through my college years.
Father Tim O'Connor was there for many years, and a great guy.
Yeah.
Kind of a role model for you a little bit?
Yeah. So him and Father Beatty at Holy Spirit were the first two priests I really remember growing up with and seeing the priesthood
Both
lived
great
out.
Guys.
Right,
yeah.
Right.
You're called. Wasn't something you thought about from the time you were a little kid.
Mm-mm.
Family prayer every day, that sort of thing, or just Mass on the weekends? I shouldn't say just Mass on the weekends. Mass on the weekends, and I see your mom from time to time during the week.
Yeah, we lived a faithful Catholic life growing up. I remember especially, Mom was the one that really taught me to pray. We did homeschool PSR a few of those years, and I just remember praying the rosary with her and just having a relationship with Mary, really through my mom. She was the one that first introduced me to a relationship with Blessed Mother, and that was absolutely beautiful. And just growing up through Avon Lake and seeing the priests, it wasn't something that I looked at with them and said, I think I want to do that. It wasn't until I really fell in love with the person of Christ through a retreat that helped me to really enter into, maybe this is for me.
That was your junior year?
Junior year of high school.
Tell me about that retreat. How did it have such a profound impact on you?
Yeah, so one of my friends, actually my next-door neighbor, invited me on this retreat, and he just said it's going to be a fun time, there's going to be good people, good food, and so I was in.
Mm-hmm.
That's all you had to tell me. But when I went there, it was called Christ and Others Retreat, and it was at the St. Leonard Youth Retreat Center in Avon, Ohio. And so when I went there, I entered into a group of just faithful Catholics and people on the fringe and non-Catholics, but it was everyone that was on that retreat and the priest, Father Gian Pietro Gasparin, from the Congregation of St. Joseph. He was the one that led us. It was a very faithful example of, like, following Jesus can be fun. Mm-hmm. It can be something that, like, it just fits my heart as a young person. And so that was something new for me. I never really thought of my relationship with Christ as, you know, deeply personal, or that he would have a call for me. There was also a seminarian on that retreat as well. I just remember just hearing from him for the very first time about, like, well, God actually calls young men to priesthood. And I never thought about that before, but as this, as my faith began to expand, so did that call. It was kind of like just like a nudge in my heart. Mm-hmm. And it was just something I'm like, I couldn't get it out of my mind. I just kind of knew I had to pursue it.
Do you think there's an attitude in some people that by having a call to be a sister or a priest or a brother, that you're giving up something as opposed to gaining something?
Oh, yeah, definitely. And I think as a young person, too, that's very scary. You know, it's a prospect where it's like, if I say yes to this, I'm saying no to everything that the world values. And that is, that's just intimidating. It's scary. And honestly, when I was going through the rest of my junior year, I really, I'm like, I think I want to be a priest, but I didn't want to tell my family. I didn't want to tell my friends because I figured I would be pegged as, you know, crazy.
Well, I don't think so. But when did you? When did you finally decide that I'm going to explore this further?
Yeah. A lot of the fruitfulness of the church comes through, you know, sufferings and tragedy. And at the end of my junior year of high school, one of my best friends that I had brought forward, I was like a young evangelist. I brought all my friends on the next retreat. So I went in January of my junior year on this core retreat, Christ and Others. And I brought my friends in April. About a month after that retreat, one of my best friends ended up passing away unexpectedly.
Oh, dear.
So it was very difficult for me, my friends, my group, but my faith really saw me through that. It helped me to, you know, just persevere. And I really just remember the Lord saying to me, you know, I don't promise you a long life, but I will promise you a full life if you follow me. And so I knew after that point that I needed to pursue this. And so I opened up with my family. I opened up with my close friends. And you know my mom as well. So I said, Mom, you know, I'm not really ready to share this with the world yet, so please just keep it between us. And, you know, my mom did the best she could for about 48 hours. Then about half of Avon Lake knew. So, but it was good. The amount of support that was present there was amazing.
Well, and that is something about that parish. It's a very open, welcoming community.
Yeah.
And they like to get you involved, that's for darn sure.
Yeah.
You gained a lot. We're going to talk about that later, but you've got two parishes now as administrator and probably most likely soon to be the pastor. But you're to the point now, I believe you had a full scholarship to Bowling Green, if I'm not mistaken. A trumpet player.
Yeah, I believe it was either a full scholarship or, you know, a lot of it was going to be paid for. That was what I wanted to do before I was thinking about, you know, entering seminary. So I wanted to be a high school band director. That was my initial, you know, thrust. I was in marching band throughout of high school, and I really wanted to pursue that. But then, you know, God showed me a different way.
So you entered you applied, obviously, entered the seminary.
Yeah, I applied my senior year.
What's that feel like? Because I think many of the priests we talk to, they would say, wow, what a diverse bunch of guys. It's just a nice place to be and an enriching place.
Right. Yeah. There's really no mold for a priest. You know, you don't look at it and say, like, oh, you have to fit this confined personhood or characteristics. You get to be yourself, but yourself as Christ made you to be. And so just conforming your life to the person of Jesus in every way is both a blessing and a challenge. But you see that diversity of who Christ calls in the seminary.
Father Scott Goodfellow is with us on God Calling. I'm Paul Orlowski. Stay with us. We'll be back right after these messages. Thanks for staying with us. We hope you will each and every week. This is Paul Orlowski. Scott Goodfellow entered the seminary, not father yet, but Scott Goodfellow. You saw the guys weren't all out of one mold, and the formation process begins. That involves a lot of soul searching, a lot of prayer. What was your day like? Was it tough to get used to that because it's very regimented?
Yeah, actually, I remember my first day when my parents dropped me off, and I didn't have a car at the time, so I remember them pulling away, and that like feeling of like being in a home alone, you know, like I made my parents disappear. Like that's what it was like. And it was both exhilarating and a little bit, you know, scary as well. But I got to fall in love with the community, the guys that were around me. And I remember just like the first year or two, I mean, I just really rejoiced in the structure, the regimented prayer. And I didn't grow up serving Mass. I didn't know all the Latin names for all of the utensils that we use during Mass. So people are saying, you know, bring me the corporal, bring me the Paul. I'm like, I don't know what that is. You got to speak clear English here. But I learned all of those things, and I really found the prayer of the seminary to be just so helpful. We entered into spiritual direction. We took philosophy and religion classes. Mm-hmm. We had classes at John Carroll. You know, I just remember, falling in love with Jesus in the Eucharist through our weekly holy hours, you know, helping to plan Sunday masses and being part of the choir. It just being human with the guys, you know, yeah. Lots of formation opportunities, going bowling, you know, watching movies and just hanging out, learning how to be a good Catholic man, yeah. First and foremost.
The whole mass was in Latin when I first became an altar boy. And so the paten that you would hold underneath the chin of the people as you went down the communion aisle, yeah. You couldn't wait to get to your brother. Because you get to your brother and boom, you can hit him and the priest would look at you like, don't do that again. And the yeah. Next week, you do it again. And then that changed to English. And you know, people could self-communicate after that. But back to the seminary and all the different things that you do. Part of the thing that people maybe don't know is that really you're a college student at John Carroll for the most part for 4 years, which is a pretty regular life as you begin to discern further and deeper and work toward being ordained as a transitional deacon and then a priest. On campus, do you wear anything special or are you just like everybody else?
We were dressed better than everybody else, but that's because everyone wore their PJs and sweatpants to class.
Okay.
We were expected to wear khakis and a polo shirt, mm-hmm. A button-down shirt. So people did recognize us, you know, pretty much right away, mm-hmm. as seminarians.
Yeah.
It was a wonderful opportunity, though. I mean, just to encounter people in our classes there. Just to clarify for the listeners, we lived at Borromeo Seminary, which is on the campus of the Center for Pastoral Leadership in Wycliffe.
Right.
St. Mary and Borromeo are both on that same campus. But we commuted, you know, about three mm-hmm. times a week to John Carroll. I had an opportunity as well on my junior year of John Carroll to do a Rome study abroad trip.
Ah.
So me and three other seminarians, along with 16 other John Carroll kids, did a study abroad there. And it was wonderful. And that really solidified, I would say, my diocesan vocation to priesthood. Mm-hmm. Before that, I was considering, well, I'm not sure if I want diocesan priesthood. Maybe a religious order is more for me. But I really fell in love with the John Carroll students I was with, and they would come to us with their problems, and you know, like I couldn't sure. absolve them at the time, but hear the confessions.
An open ear is important.
Exactly. So I'm like, yeah, I think this is what I really like to do. I love to, you know, just like enter into a community and help people here. So that was very formative for me.
So you're getting close to graduation, I guess, but you're mm-hmm. now a transitional deacon. How important is that year?
Transitional deacon year is it's wonderful. You get to, I mean, they used to ordain you as a transitional deacon for about maybe 6 months. Mm-hmm. We were ordained in, you know, September, October, and ordained a priest that following May. I think now they're doing about a year, so they're ordaining right. In May, June for a transitional deacon. But it's a wonderful opportunity to start living those promises of prayer and obedience and chastity. Living at a parish, preaching, doing some of the sacramental ministry, baptizing people, doing marriages, and preparing couples. And it's really an opportunity for you to start living, you know, those promises of your priesthood and just following, like, you know, there's a certain respect that comes with, you know, being ordained, whether
sure.
a deacon or a priest, but also getting used to that and getting used to being like a public person, that people put a lot of trust in you, mm-hmm. and you want to make sure that you're using that trust in every right way.
Be careful how you use
it. Not taking advantage of it, right?
Yeah, exactly. So it comes time to be ordained. Mm-hmm. That retreat the week before.
Yeah.
What was that like? 8 years of hard work. Mm-hmm. What's going through your mind?
You know, at that point, it's saying, like, Lord, help me to be ready.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's a little bit of second guessing and saying, Lord, did you really call me to this? But, I mean, at least for me, right? And I just remember that being and just an awesome time. I'm saying, I'm done with school. I'm done with that part of that that formation. But really saying, I'm not at the end. I'm at the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
I'm at the beginning of this new journey. And that's what it was like being ordained a deacon and then again a priest. I'm like, first I'm like, I'm finished yeah. with the seminary. Yeah. But then I'm like, but I'm just beginning. This is great.
Yeah.
Loved it.
Yeah. The So after that, you're sent to St. Robert and William.
Yeah. Yeah.
And
that's 4 years.
Tell me about that. That's in Euclid, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
St. Robert and William was back in 2014, they had been, you know, a merger
merged,
of
right.
St. William's and St. Robert Parish at the campus of St. William's. And, you know, gosh, I just, that was, it's the first love, you know, your first parish is going to be your first love. And I had a great mentor in Father John Betters, and we continue to be great friends to this very day.
I did some stories about the mergers and things like that, and I heard all the jokes that the St. Robert and William was going to be Billy Bob.
Oh, yeah.
Crisscross, St. Chris and Holy Cross. And but the parishioners, that was the one place, speaking to Bishop Lennon, he was telling me that they were hoping to get down to three parishes, and the people came up with a better plan, and it became the two. And so he was actually excited about it. So people embraced all of that. You were there for a couple of years, I believe.
Yeah, 4 years. That's
4 years.
Okay. Full length of the parochial vicar assignment. So therefore, really fruitful 4 years, fun story. I brew beer.
Yes,
and
I
so we did we called our brew group there Billy Bob Brewers.
Okay.
Yeah, did a couple of batches
so,
there.
So I was on right track with that, huh?
Oh, yeah.
Father, stay right where you are. Scott Goodfellow, Father Scott Goodfellow, joining us on God Calling. We'll be right back after these messages. Thanks for staying with us. Once again, this is Paul Orlowski. I'm with Father Scott Goodfellow, and we're here with the program. Different guest each week, but each week at this very same time. So thank you for joining us. Father, after 4 years at St. William and Robert, off you go again. Time to obey the bishop's order. Where'd you go next?
I went to St. Mary's in Hudson as parochial vicar for the next 3 years of my priesthood.
I take it another good experience.
Yeah, great experience.
Great folks.
Oh, yeah.
Then something tragic happened in our diocese. Father Redmond died.
That's
who was the pastor at St. Mary's in Chardon, as well as down in Thompson,
St. Patrick's
in Thompson. After a time, you were called. When a parish undergoes a loss like that, how tough is it for the new guy coming in? I mean, there's some healing that has to happen. Some people are probably angry in some ways.
Sure, I didn't really encounter very much anger, and I did have a time of transition as well. Father Andy Turner came in as the interim administrator.
Great guy.
Yeah, between when Father Redmond passed and when I came, and actually I just celebrated my 1 year anniversary on August 1st.
Wonderful, you're the administrator there now.
The administrator,
most likely next year, pastor.
Whenever the bishop calls.
Obedience, one of the big three. Let's change gears a little bit. You have an interesting hobby. Started with your dad brewing beer, and you're good at it. You won a first place medal for a Trappist ale at the Ohio State Fair.
Yeah, that was a couple of years ago.
Yeah.
Entered some other local competitions and won a few medals here and there. But you know, that's not why I do it. I brew it for fun. I brew it to share. And I just enjoy drinking it, too.
Yeah,
it's a lot of fun to...
A couple of articles I read, you enjoyed the process of getting to that end. And it's a little bit like leading people, in a way, toward Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
What's your dad think of your...
he's in full support.
Yeah. Well, you were actually over in Europe when you came up with this Trappist Ale, which was the winner at the fair. How did you get onto that idea? I'm going to try that one.
Well, there's style guidelines for beer and brewing, and so I just follow the style guidelines. And, when I was over in Rome and, we did some side trips and, went to, just in Europe, I mean, you just taste different beers. And I'm like, oh, you know what? I really like some of the Belgian styles. And I found out, when I got back home that, actually you can buy some of those here. So started to find some of those styles, and I said, I think I can recreate this.
Yeah. You've got a big parish, 2,600.
Yeah, 2,600 in Chardon, about 300 families in Thompson.
When they tell you you've got two parishes, is that like, that's all, how far apart are the two?
10 miles, 15 minutes of a drive.
What's your closest two masses you've ever had? Probably half an hour?
Yeah. So sometimes on Sunday I'll have the 8 a.m. at St. Mary's in Chardon and then the 9:30 at St. Patrick's in Thompson. So I kind of, am taking my vestments off, waving to people as I get ready to drive off to Thompson. But that doesn't happen every week. I have a parochial vicar to help me, and we manage the two parishes. Got a good teamwork going on.
Now, you entered Borromeo at 18.
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty young. Some guys maybe are out and work for a year or two or go to college for someplace for a year or two. Is that different, or were there others who were in that same age bracket?
Actually, I came into Borromeo with a pretty large class. I think there were 22 of us total.
Wonderful.
There were 15 diocesan and 7 in the Capuchin formation program. I think most of the guys were 18,
mm-hmm.
or just in their late teens, early 20s when they entered in. A few of the guys have some college experience. There's also a program called pre-theology for those who have a college degree already. They would go to the graduate school and catch up on the philosophy and theology classes.
I read a quote that you had about the priesthood, is that you're not, and we as Catholics, we're not just filling a hole, we're building something. Talk about that. Explain that.
Yeah, I think I wrote that in Northeast Ohio, the Catholic magazine, on the Angel Scholarship Fund. And it's a good line, not only for the fact that, like, we donate not just to, like, okay, we just have a need to fill, but I want to build something. I want to grow something here. And I think that's true in our spiritual life as well, that we don't pray just because there's a need in our heart. We follow the Lord in our vocation because we want to grow in holiness. We want to make and sanctify the world, make the world holy.
Tell me about the Angel Scholarship Fund. I read the article too.
Yeah. So that was fun to put together. We did. All right, when I heard about the Angel Scholarship Fund, I thought it was an awesome opportunity. For those who don't know, it's an Ohio tax credit that's available to anyone who owes Ohio income tax, $750 for single donors or $1,500 for those who file jointly. What happens with this is that you can give to the Angel Scholarship Fund either to an undesignated school, so the Diocese of Cleveland will, you know, choose the area of greatest need, or you can designate a school of your choice, a Catholic school. Not a student, but a school. Mm-hmm. And then you trust that the school is going to, they have to prioritize the lower income students. Mm-hmm. But that helps, it's a direct impact on their tuition assistance. So you think about that. If you donate to the Angel Scholarship Fund and there's a school, a Catholic school, you know, nearby in your neighborhood, you donate to that school, then you're taking $750 off of the tuition burden that a family is going to have to bear that year.
This one's from your mother. She wants me to ask you to explain your nickname, Scott or the Otter.
I would say you have to bring my mom on to answer that one. No. For that nickname was given to me at my birth. My grandpa, okay. He liked making nicknames for people, so he said Scott or the Otter, and it stuck.
Yeah, I was Pauly Wally, so I can relate to you. As things go on, tell me what happened after Father Redmond passed away, and now you're there. You got to make some changes, but you can't. A priest once told me that I didn't do anything for the first year, just to kind of let people get used to you. You get used to them, see their style, and move on. How's it going?
It's going well. You know, I would clarify that you don't do anything for a year. sit in the rectory and show up for Mass. You don't make changes where you don't know the history. You don't know the story. You don't know, like, who does what. So it's just kind of just sitting back, taking things in, letting things unfold around you, asking really good questions. And I got to say, like, you know, I'm surrounded by a great team of people. And this year, more than anything, has taught me how to trust. Mm-hmm. Trust the Lord. Trust those around me, and just to know that everyone there, they want my good. They want the good of their parish, and they really want the parish, the school, to flourish.
Are your homilies online? Do you live stream or anything like that?
The 8 a.m. Mass at St. Mary's is live streamed.
Okay, and if people want more information, I'm sure you're online with the bulletin and such?
Yeah, the bulletin. I have a Facebook page. Yeah, I mean, they know where to find me. I'm all the way out in Chardon.
I found you on Facebook at Molly's Irish Pub.
I just
blessing
that.
A new brew. Like last week, maybe, or a couple of weeks ago, anyway.
Right.
Father Scott Goodfellow, thanks very much for joining us. And folks, thank you for joining us. I'm Paul Orlowski, your host here. Each and every week at this time, you're listening to AM 1260 The Rock, Cleveland Catholic Radio.
What do you want me to do? Why am I here? You're here on this planet for a reason. What do you want me to do?
Hello? Who is this?
This is God Calling.
Thank you for listening to God Calling here on AM 1260 The Rock. This locally produced program is dedicated to looking closer at religious vocations, from the priesthood to marriage, from parenting to the single life. If you miss any part of today's program, or you just want to listen again, go to our website, am1260therock.com, and click on the On Demand tab.
The preceding program was a production of St. Peter the Rock Media and is brought to you by you. If you liked it, consider making a donation and supporting Catholic radio programming on AM 1260 The Rock.
Click on the orange donate button at am1260therock.com.